Amen. Thank you. In many ways, this week has been a week of lost and found. I want us to think together about this week. Some things that were lost, some things that were found. I thought about telling the story about the associate pastor who lost his wallet for a week or so, but I don't want to embarrass anybody, so I won't do that one. But this week, as we finished some demolition, cleaned up some lots, finished the work at the apartment complex, we were blessed to find some really special things. We found high school diploma, social security cards, found some important electronic equipment, somebody's computer, iPad, things like that. One of the families said they had stuff in their attic and they never were able to get anything out of their attic, and it was just all the memorabilia type stuff. And sure enough, as we were taking care of their property, we found a lot of that stuff that had been in the attic. And it's just stuff that only means very much to mom and dad, you know, a basketball plaque that somebody earned first place in 1999. So that'll be something to somebody, you know. We're going to look forward to getting that back to the person who owns it. Another family came up to the demolition crew and said she lost her wedding ring. He lost his A&M ring. And so we looked really hard for the wedding ring. The crew that was working that spot was able to find those rings and return them to the families. We had a young lady who came up and explained to us that her baby died very early, maybe a day or so. And all she had to remember that baby by was a box. In the box was a locket of hair, the hospital band and sonogram pictures. And that's all she had of her baby. And if we ever found that box, she'd love to have that box. And sure enough, some of the volunteers that were working with us this week found that box. And they were able to return it to her. The volunteers surrounded her and prayed over her. It was a beautiful time. You have probably heard the story by now that Mrs. Zerharniak and her family could not find the flag that had been draped on Joe Zerharniak's coffin at his funeral. And they had tried before and weren't able to get it. And then sure enough, as Tom Mark is cleaning up the debris after the demolition, he was able to find that flag. We were able to take it back and present it to her. The funeral home is going to clean it up nice, and the same guys that folded it the day of the funeral will fold it again, and she'll have that back again. It's been a really neat week to see so many lost things found. And that inspired me this week. It encouraged me to the point that I wanted us to talk about lost and found. And to help us with that, I want to encourage you to look with me in Luke chapter 15. Because Jesus tells three stories about lost and found. Three stories about things that were recovered. About that which once was lost, but now is found. And I want us to look at it real quickly this morning. As we look at these stories, there's much that we could do. We could spend probably 3 or 4 month series on these stories. But instead of that, I just want to give you two real quick lessons about being lost and two real quick lessons about being found. we're going to gain it from these stories. To understand these stories, and by the way, in this chapter is probably the most famous parable in all of Scripture. The one parable that everybody knows, even those who are not churched. Everybody has heard about the prodigal son. It's in this chapter. But so often we jump to the story of the prodigal son that we miss the point of the chapter. You see, to understand the chapter, you've got to look at all three stories that are presented. And to understand the three stories that are presented, you've got to look at why Jesus told them, and we find that in the first two verses. In chapter 15 at verse 1, "Now all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him, and both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" You see, in their culture, to eat with someone was to have a very intimate experience with them. It was a very personal thing. For us, when we eat, it's so that we can eat. For them, when they sat down to eat, it was so that they could have a time to relate to one another. And they say, "Look at Jesus. He calls himself a man of God. Look at him. Hanging out with those tax gatherers, those sinners. We're so religious. We're so clean and good and upright. We wouldn't be seen with those nasty people. And look at him sitting down and talking with them and eating with them." And so they're over here grumbling about it. And then Jesus tells them three stories. The reason he tells the stories is because he wants them to understand how God sees lost and found. These guys think, "We've got it made. We're right with God. Everything's cool. We don't want to mess with people who don't have what we have." And Jesus comes around and says, "But those are the very people I came for. Your priorities are all mixed up if you don't care about those." He teaches them that in these three stories. The first story, chapter 3, he told them this parable. "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Jesus says, just like the shepherd who loses one sheep, the shepherd knows that if you lose the sheep, that sheep's got to be paid for. Can you guess who pays for the sheep when the sheep is lost? The shepherd. And so the shepherd knows that it's pretty important for him, not only financially, but for his reputation, that he go find the lost sheep. So what he does is he leaves the 99 with the other shepherds in the field. A flock of 99 is going to have more than one shepherd. So he's going to leave them with the other shepherds in the field, and he's going to go and look for the one lost one. Jesus is saying, you guys are claiming that you're all okay in the fold. You're claiming that you're set up just the way God wants you to be. Even if that were true, understand why I'm going to go look for the one. Because there's more joy in finding the one that was lost than just in knowing that everybody else is okay. See, Jesus' commitment was to the one who was lost. And so the shepherd goes and he finds the one lost sheep, brings him home. You notice he carries the sheep home on his own shoulders. Brings the sheep home and there's great rejoicing. They throw a party. Story number 2, beginning at verse 8. "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it?" You don't have $10, lose a dollar, and say, No big deal. I still have nine. I don't care about that one. Maybe you do with a dollar. But what if they were $1,000 bills? Hey, I've got 9,000. I don't need that one. I'm just going to let it go. You see, he says, people don't do that. He says, the woman whose responsibility, and I understand the cultural differences, understand that he's talking in his time, not ours. He says, the woman whose responsibility it is to take care of the matters of the home says, I'm missing something. It's my job not to miss something. And so she lights the lamp so that she can see in even the dark corners. And she gets the broom to dust the dirt and the dust out of the way so that she can... And she works very hard to find the one. She finds the coin. And look what happens. 9. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's great rejoicing when the one is found. And then he tells the third story. And for time, I won't read the whole story to you. But you're familiar with it anyway, aren't you? There are two sons. By the way, we call it the story of the prodigal son. I think that's probably a mistake. Because the first story, it was really about the shepherd, wasn't it? Who sought after the sheep. The second story, it was really about the woman, wasn't it, who looked for the coin. The same thing is true about the third story. It really is about the father who interacted with the lost son. But here's the story. Dad has two sons. One of the sons comes to dad and says, you know, one of these days you're going to kick the bucket. And when you kick the bucket, I'm going to get some of your money. So I tell you what, Dad, let's just fast forward. You go ahead and give me what's mine now. In essence, he's saying to Dad, I wish you were dead. Your stuff is more important to me than you are. So give me what's going to be my stuff, and I'm going to hit the road. And he hits the road, he takes off. It says he goes off to a far away country. We don't know where that is. It doesn't matter, because anytime you're away from home, out of rebellion, you're a far away country. Might be down the street, it might be next door, but if you've left out of rebellion, you're a long way from home. He winds up going down the way on his own. He says, I got money, I'm going to have a good time. He blows all the money partying, doing all kinds of silly stuff, throwing his money away. He thinks he's got friends, because you know what? When you got the stuff to party with, people like the stuff. They show up for a party. But what happens when the money runs out, the stuff goes away, and lo and behold, these people who were your friends, you know where they are? They're hanging out with the next sucker down the street who's got enough to buy some stuff. And you're alone. The Bible says this fellow got so hungry, he got a job, kind of, if you want to call it a job, feeding pigs, so that he could eat the leftover pig slop. This fellow went from living high on the hog to living lower than the pigs. And then it says around verse 15 or 16, and I love it, it says he came to his senses. He woke up. He thought for a change. He said, look at me. I was living high. I was in a nice home with a daddy who loved me. And now look at me. I'm begging from pigs. In a Jewish culture where you didn't touch a pig, you didn't eat a pig, you didn't have anything to... Imagine no bacon. Golly. You didn't have anything to do with pigs. Now he's living with them. I mean, that's low. He says, look at where I used to be. Look at where I've put myself. I've got to make a change. It says he came to himself. And he goes back home. He's got it worked out. He's got a speech worked out. He's going to go to his daddy. He's going to say, Daddy, your servants have life better than I do. would you please hire me as your servant? Let me come back as a servant so that at least I'll be home. But when he gets there, he never gets to give his speech, does he? You know why he doesn't get to give his speech? Because Daddy is running down the street to meet him. Now get a couple of things there. For one thing, in their culture, Hebrew men, well, not just Hebrew, but men in the East never ran. It would be considered beneath them. It was dishonorable. It would be kind of like a 48-year-old man with a bad knee skipping around. It just don't look right. Men in the East never ran, but Daddy ran to his son. His love compelled him. He ran to his son. He held his son in his arms and said he kept on hugging him. The verb there means continuous action. He kept on hugging him and hugging him and hugging him and hugging him. Boy never got to give his speech because Daddy said, I tell you what, somebody go get him a robe and put a robe on him. Somebody put a ring on his finger. Somebody put sandals on his feet. Why? Because servants don't wear any of those. Only family members wear those. He said, this is my son. He's not a servant. He's my boy. And he's come home. Let's throw a party. Let's rejoice. Go kill that fatted calf. Two things that came to mind. First, why did the father know that the boy was coming down the street? I reckon he was watching for him. Second, why was the calf fat? Reckon Daddy had been getting ready for the day he could throw a party, fattening up that calf. See, it's a great story. But it's a story about the daddy and how the daddy responded to the son. Now, those are the stories. Just a few more minutes for the lessons. Two lessons about being lost. Two lessons about being found. First, Jesus cares about those who are lost. Jesus cares deeply about those who are lost. How did the sheep get lost? He was just careless. He just careless. That's how sheep get lost. You know, a sheep doesn't wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm tired of that shepherd. I'm not going to do that shepherd thing anymore. I'm going to go my own way. No, sheep's just foolish. A sheep has his head down. He's eating the grass. And all he can think about is, oh, there's some green grass over yonder. And he's going to eat over here. There's some green grass. He's going to eat up. He's not watching for danger around him. He's not watching where the shepherd is. He doesn't care what's going on. He's just kind of selfish. He's foolish. He's got his head down, only thinking about himself. There's a lot of people who are lost in the same way. It's not that they're trying to rebel against God. They're just foolish, selfish people. All they can think about is themselves, taking care of myself, my way. And what they don't realize is that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray, each to his own way. Our foolishness has caused us to walk away. What about the coin? How'd the coin get lost? It's not the coin's fault. Coin didn't decide to hide. The coin just had no awareness. Coin can't think. Coin can't feel. Just had no awareness. There are a lot of folks today who are lost just because they're not aware of the truth. They just don't know what's going on. But what about the boy? The boy wasn't just foolish and selfish living his own life. The boy wasn't unaware. He had lived at home. He knew the love of the Father. The boy chose to turn his back on the Father and walk away. Which one is more lost? Sheep, the coin, the son? All are lost. Whether it's just living your own life, you don't think about it, or whether you're completely unaware of the truth, or whether you deliberately rebel against God, lost is lost. and Jesus cares enough. In the story, the shepherd represents Jesus, who's going to come find the lost. He's going to go to the hard work to come and find you. In the story, the woman represents Jesus, who's going to look for that coin. He's going to come find you. He cares that much. In the story, the father represents Jesus, who cares enough to come running after you if you'll start your way home. See, Jesus cares about those who are lost. For the Son of Man, this is what Jesus said, quoting him directly, he said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Second lesson about being lost: when you're lost, you're not where you belong. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? When you're lost, you're not. What is it that made the sheep lost? He was supposed to be in the pasture with the 99. He wasn't where he belonged. That's what it meant to be lost. How come the coin was lost? Where are coins supposed to be? They're supposed to be in your purse or in your pocket. In my case, in Lisa's pocket. It's supposed to be in a purse or a pocket, not supposed to be hiding in the corner. It's not where it belonged. How'd the boy get lost? He wasn't where he belonged. He belonged at home with his daddy. He wasn't where he belonged. Beloved, I want you to tell you, if you're alive today, and since you're sitting here, I hope you are. If you're alive today, if you're breathing, it's because God created you. And why did God create you? So that you could have a relationship with Him. It's simple as this. If you don't have a relationship with God, you're not where you belong. You were created to have a relationship with Him. What happened was sin came into the world and into your life and into your decisions. And when sin came into your life, you were separated from Him and you're not where you belong. And so what we need is somebody to find a way to pay for that sin, so that we can come back where we belong and be with God again. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the penalty for the sin that separates so we could come back to be with God again. You see, when you're lost, you're just not where you belong. Two lessons about being found. First, salvation includes God's part and man's part. In the first story, the shepherd goes to look for the sheep. In the second story, the woman works hard to find the coin. In the third story, did you notice Daddy didn't go to find the son? Wonder how come that is. Maybe it's because the sheep just got lost because he was living his life and didn't pay attention. He was kind of selfish and foolish. The coin got lost just because it was unaware. It has no awareness. It's a thing. It just wasn't aware. The reason the son got lost is because he made a conscious decision to leave home and rebel and go his own way. And you know one of the harsh realities of life? If you choose to turn your back on God and walk away from Him, He will let you go. It'll break His heart. He will long for you to come home. The moment you turn and start home, He'll come running back to you. But if you choose to turn your back on God and walk away from Him, He will let you go. You see, one of the things that we've got to understand about salvation is there's God's part and there's our part. God's part is grace. I will forgive. I will love. You may come home. Our part is repentance. We actually have to come to our senses, get up out of the pig pen that we've put ourselves in, and we've got to come home. We've got to repent, which means turn around, change your mind, say, God, I need You. In John 6, it says, "All those the Father gives Me will come to Me." That's God's part. God gives people to Jesus. Sovereignty is the word we use in church. God does that. But then you see the next part, And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Man's part, repentance, turning back to him. Second lesson, by the way, before we go on, there's one more story that I didn't tell you about what happened this week. There was a young lady from a special ministry. This ministry reaches young ladies who have made bad decisions in their lives. Many of them were addicts of one kind or another. They were sorting through the rubble at the apartment complex. And this young lady came across two bottles of prescription medicine. And she picked up those pills. And the way I heard the story first is that her hands were shaking. She came to an adult volunteer and said, "This is my drug of choice. I need you to take this from me right now." That evening, we had worship time here, and that young lady stood up here behind this pulpit and told her story. And she said, "I was in bondage to that very thing for years. But today, I did the right thing." That was beautiful. As soon as church was over, folks gathered around her, prayed for her again, just like they had done that day she turned it in. And I wanted you to hear the story because it's a story of repentance. It's a story that says, I choose to turn away from my old life and to turn to trust in God. You see, that's our part. And when we do that, what was lost can be saved. I was lost. Now I'm found. The second lesson about being found is that God loves and forgives. I'm so overwhelmed by the story of the loving father. We call it the prodigal son. I think it should be called the loving father. I'm so overwhelmed because when the boy came home, did you see what the father did not do? He didn't say, "Look, you've done 10 things wrong, so you got to do 11 things right to balance it out before you can come home. You got to do more good than you do bad." How many times have you heard that or thought that? If I do enough good to outweigh the bad, then I'm okay. Father didn't say you got to do enough good to undo what you did bad. He didn't say you have to earn your way back in here. It's what he didn't tell the boy that speaks to me in such a powerful way. He also didn't give him what the law says he deserves. You know what the Old Testament law says about a young person who rebels against his father? The Old Testament law says that the people of the community should gather around and stone that young man to death. That's what he deserved, but that's not what the father gave him. What the father gave him instead was grace. "You come in, boy. Here's your robe, here's your ring, here's your sandals. You're mine and you'll always be mine. This will always be your home." That's the kind of God we have. A God who loves and forgives. Psalm 103. "He does not treat us as our sin deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." But understand, that's not for everybody. That doesn't happen automatically. You got to read the whole text. "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him." You see, when we turn to Him, when we trust in Him, He loves and forgives and welcomes us home. What about you this morning? Are you where you belong? God created you to have a relationship with Him. Are you there? If not, why not? Is it just because you've been kind of busy living your own life and maybe kind of self-oriented, just hadn't thought about it? Or is it because you really never heard about God or Jesus? You're completely unaware like the coin. Or could it be that you don't have a relationship with God today because you chose to walk away from Him? You chose to ignore Him. You chose to do things your way. Whatever the reason, you can come home today. You can wind up where you're supposed to be, where you were created to be, in a relationship with Him. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank You for Your love for us. We thank You that when we're lost, You're looking for us. We thank You, Lord, that You care enough to provide the way for us to come home in Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray now, Lord, that You'd help each of us to make sure that we're right with You, that we're where we belong. For some, that means coming to Christ for the first time and really becoming a Christian today. If we need to make that commitment to Him to be forgiven of sin and to begin a new life as a Christian today, help us to know that You're calling us to do that. For others, it is as Christians, we've walked away. And we need to come home, get right with You again. Help us to do that if You're calling us to do that. Lord, whatever we need to do in this hour, we pray You'd give us wisdom to know what it is and courage to follow through in Jesus' name. We're going to sing together hymn 490, Lord, I'm Coming Home. I want to encourage you, if you need to give your life to Christ now, to be forgiven, to start a new life in Him, come. We'll pray with you. You can become a Christian right here this morning and really trust Him. Many of us are already Christians. We're already saved. But we also know that we walked away. We need to return to recommit our lives to Christ. Come back to the Father. Say, Father, if You'll take me back, I'll serve You. I'll be in Your home again. Maybe He calls somebody else to enter into missions or ministry or join the church. If God calls you to make a commitment, come. Let's pray about it. Let's stand together. Hymn 490.